The first book of Peter, chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. This is the epistle written by that apostle Peter, whom Jesus called from his nets, the fisherman. He said, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. He addresses his letter to strangers, people he is not familiar with. Galatia, Paul wrote that letter to the Galatians, Cappadocia. You know, these are mostly locations in Asia Minor. But it's really not important where he was. You know, we are also these strangers. Elect. Not just any strangers, but elect strangers. Strangers who are elect, which is, the word means selected, chosen. According to what? According to the fact that we chose to accept Christ as our personal Savior? No. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. A lot of people think that the blood of Jesus Christ is given merely to cover up sins. It's like this great cover up. Jesus died so that he could, you know, if you would just believe on him, that he would cover up your sins, and though you might continue being a sinner, and though you might still yet do many awful things, he's going to continue the cover up for you. He's going to continue to cover for you, and continue to just let you be as you were. You know, it's kind of at that point, once you have faith, and again, you provide the faith, once you choose to follow Christ, you then, I suppose, if you're going to have any sort of morality in this world, you're going to have to do your best and do it yourself. And some might preach some sort of deliverance, depending on the denomination, right? But Jesus Christ and his apostles preached complete deliverance. The blood of Christ is given to take away our sins, not only the sins of our past. He did give it for the remission of the sins that are past, Paul said in the book of Romans. But also, the blood of Christ, he died on the cross that he might save us from this present evil world. As the apostle Paul said, the grace of God. What is the grace of God? The grace of God is God's favor towards us. That is the basis on which he chooses people. He chooses people not because of what they have done, but because of his grace. Because he has decided in himself to be gracious towards them due to his foreknowledge. You will notice in the book of Matthew when Jesus refers to those whom he rejects at his coming, who think they are his and who claim to call him Lord, and who claim to have done works in his name as well. He says to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. I didn't know you. I didn't have any foreknowledge of you. I had no present knowledge of you. I have no future knowledge of you. I never knew you. And you will note that God has no knowledge of them. But to those he has chosen through his grace, he has foreknowledge. The blood of Christ is given on their behalf, that they might walk in this present world in righteousness and godliness. The grace of God, as we learn in Titus, teaches us. The grace of God that bringeth salvation teaches us. This is from Titus chapter 2. That denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. In this present world, not just in the world to come, That is what the grace of God that brings salvation teaches you. Because as it is written in the book of Romans chapter 5, I think it's the last verse. Yeah, he says that as sin hath reigned unto death, so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That process of being made right, justification, that process, which is not merely God declaring us right, as some would say, it's merely God declares us right, even though we're not, even though we continue to sin. No, God declares us right, and then he gives us the power to be free from sin. As Jesus said, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin, from John chapter 8. But whoever commits sin is the servant of sin, but whom the Son shall make free shall be free indeed. We have to be made free. We have to be freed from the sinful bondages. We have to be able to exercise ourselves from the fleshly lusts. And the only way we can do that is by the grace of God, by the power of God. Now, I'm not saying that the moment you believe, you're going to receive all these things, or that at any moment in your life, you're just going to say, I believe it, and get it. But God, in his good time, we have a hope, and we with patience do wait for the hope of righteousness, as it is written. So the sanctification of the Spirit, what? Through sanctification of the Spirit. The Spirit comes and sanctifies us. It makes us holy. Something holy is something that is pure. It is separate. It is set aside. It's different. He wants to make himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works, as it is written. Unto obedience. You know, he wants us to be obedient. As it is said in the Old Testament, God desires obedience more than sacrifice. Obedience, compliance, submission to his will. He wants us to do as he says. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? The Lord Jesus had said. The sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood, by the word of God, is what has the power to cleanse sins. Not merely to cleanse our past record of sins, no, but to also deliver us, even now, in this present world, from the sinful lusts and desires. Believe you this? Well, if you can believe it, then you are hearing the gospel, and you can be saved. But if you can't believe it, then you've rejected the gospel, and you cannot be saved. So, those of you who are elect and who hear my word, I say also to you, grace to you.